Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light and want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called White Cosmic Wizard, and it is the 13th day of the White Wind Wave Spell, and it is the Crystal Moon Day 18. We'll talk about both and the transition into a new wave spell that starts tomorrow. I would say that it's worthwhile talking about the wave spell that was White Wind. On the cosmic day, the 13th of 13, there is this sensation, I believe, of being between waves, that there's a whole day, or if it's a longer 13 moon wave spell, we get a whole moon of 28 days. That is a bridge between years. And maybe bridge isn't the right metaphor. It's more of an absence of action between years, a pause. And that pause is really an aspiration that many of us have in spiritual pursuit, because it is the place of relaxation or clarity or simplicity that comes after a lot of hard work. I use the demonstration of like how they teach Zen meditation or Buddhist meditation, where if you're going to sit for long hours and open yourself to a spiritual connection, then you're going to feel your body for the beginning of it, and your thoughts are going to occupy your attention. But after a while, sort of undetermined moment of transition, you lose track of all that and are one with the universe, however you would describe that. And that's what the cosmic moon, the cosmic day, the cosmic tone means to me experientially, and maybe from some of the research that Jose Argüelles, you know, imposed upon the movement by calling this day the day of presence, that it just makes sense to me that when we're one with the universe, i.e. the cosmos, that we are cosmic. So even though this day is called cosmic, it doesn't mean being all trippy and cool and out there. It means just seamlessly of everything and not making a lot of determinations or analysis about the separation of things. We're going to have a chance to do that when the next 13-day wave spell begins tomorrow. It's just this momentary relaxation, this momentary release of a tight hold of planning for the future or reflecting on the past or chasing something with our mind or chasing something with our actions. And instead, we're pretty still. And like I said, I think it represents a sweet spiritual moment. And having said all of that, I don't think that cosmic days are necessarily easy or tranquil, and we're going to have the cosmic moon in just over a week, so I'll have lots of time to both feel that experience and talk about it. But let me, you know, backtrack and say that the cosmic moment, also per Jose Argüelles's teaching, is attached to words endure and transcend. So the words that he chose for this, three words, endure, transcend, presence. I love that, the way it sort of runs into a phrase, a lyricism. Endure and transcend presence. So to be present is to endure discomfort. And that's what I mean about the metaphor of sitting in the lotus position in a meditation hall, that there's a kind of like ache and rigidity that's hard to hold, and our body tires and our body itches, and that again, in real life, outside that depiction, that means that being in the present moment, there's all kinds of things that are hard to bear, whether it is our body or whether it is our society around us or whether it is the weather or anything external where we could feel trapped, we could feel taken hold of, we could feel that we are subject to something, held hostage, then we endure. And at the same time, eventually, by being in attention to that, not trying to run away from it, not being able to, you know, or held tight by whatever it is that is influencing us and having a bit of dominion. We're enduring something that's either uncomfortable or overbearing, all the different levels, the whole spectrum of that. And then acceptance and surrender gets woven in eventually. Takes different amounts of times for different people in different situations, but there becomes a way of being with what is. And when that's authentic, it's transcendent. Maybe the simple phraseology is that we transcend suffering and feel exhilarated often, or simply free and peaceful. So that's one of the experiences that might exist on a cosmic day or a cosmic moon. If you're a cosmic person, it could be framing your whole life, enduring, things are uncomfortable, there is suffering, you can feel it, and then not outrunning it, not outgunning it, and finally coming to a place of surrender that's either, you know, an exercise where you ask yourself to let go, or it happens for you by the grand schema of a God force. And then in the transcendence, there's peace and freedom and maybe joy. And then that's presence. Presence is that combo. I think that's a really deep natural time teaching, and I honor Jose Arguelles for coming up with the language, which I refer to because it's meaningful to me. Some of his language isn't as meaningful, and I refer to it less frequently. But when it comes to the cosmic tone and the name of the 13th day, the 13th tone, the 13th moon, cosmic, being one with the cosmos, that expansion, that freedom, and how to get there is both a path of endurance and transcendence and being present, present with all. I think that's very apt and beautiful. And as I said, it's a connection point. It is the moment of leaving one wave spell, a wave form, and beginning another. It's an end and a beginning at once, and it's neither. It's a pause. So we are holding that space today on White Cosmic Wizard, and we're leaving behind the white wind wave spell, and I need to dish about that because it was hard. And you know, I love to talk about why things are hard and what hardship is foundationally, and so I'll start with that. I'm going to lead with that. White wind for me, and I really honor if you're a male and this wasn't your truth. I want to make that delineation actually in a moment. But as a female, perhaps, or just as Lisa Starr, I find white wind experientially to be pretty masculine and pretty out of touch. I think that's a perfect word for spirit, not like tangible, out of touch. And that the way that looks operationally in, say, the American culture is, I want to say white men because it's white wind, but we could just say men, incarnated men, masculine people, being out of touch, not in a place of empathy, a feeling state, being in their heads, being in the air, being absent, absent-minded, absent in attention, inattentive. You know, where are you? That question that you can ask in a dialogue with someone. Where are you right now? I don't even feel like you're here. Being invisible. Abandonment issues. And that to me, all of that I just said, that's what the patriarchy is to me. You know, we kind of are talking and banding about the word patriarchy more these days and the patriarchy. And I don't know that I've lived all these years with thoughts about the patriarchy any more than others who are now having concepts about it. But that's what it is to me. It's just dealing with men that are not in touch, that aren't empathic, who aren't compassionate, which means being passionate with someone, I think, feeling feelings with someone, compassion, and a little heartless, not in your heart, in your head, and as I said, absent-minded, and therefore kind of repeating yourself, not noticing who's listening, who know your audience, instead just talking about what interests you, and so self-serving and selfish and self-centered. And I don't think that's what white wind means in terms of a Mayan descriptor. I'll go back to that also in a moment. But that was the shadow energy of this white wind wave spell for me. I have a lot of that in my family. And so it was personal for me that I had to re-examine a few figureheads on my father's side and feel it, you know, like, this is tightly woven, intricate, upsetting karma that I have with my family of origin, and feeling incapacitated by female suffering, which maybe for me as a woman, or me and my feminine energy. I mean, we've had this interesting run of wave spells where we bounce back and forth from masculine to feminine archetypes pretty fluidly. So prior to white wind, we had red moon, and prior to red moon, we had yellow warrior, and prior to yellow warrior, we were in blue knight, which doesn't really have any assignation one way or the other, and white dog before that. So it's just that lately we've swung from feminine to masculine feeling states, and I'm burned out. Like, I want to be in the feminine only. I want to retreat, which is perfect because I'm a woman. And so that's a beautiful journey home to myself. Like, okay, I've had enough. I've had enough of this bouncing back and forth between polarities and archetypes, and I just want to be me. And like I said, I can't imagine or speak to what it would be to be male, or maybe you're a male without any kind of patriarchal hold on you. So you didn't have to get revved up in a white wind wave spell, where I think that is the shadow energy. Like I said, I think it's a shadow. The original Mayan teaching is that this is the masculine paternal deity, that we have Red Dragon, the goddess divine from which we are born, where we're held in the womb. It's sacred, it's wet, it's effluvial, it's dark. We're close to our mother in Red Dragon. And then White Wind, we step out and it feels really spacious, almost disconnected by comparison. It feels a little lost, that our father is much more absent than the presence of being so nurtured by feminine divine energy, that we are literally within her. It's not the relationship we have to our fathers. We step into autonomy when we leave the womb, and we meet our fathers who exist in autonomy, and their autonomy is greater than ours because they're much older and have life experience. They're teaching us about autonomy and how to be safe, and they protect us, but they're often truly, actually, and then in some poetic way, gone. And so I would say that that's the truth of white wind, that there's all this caring and protection in a different way than the female energy does it, but that the shadow of denying, we deny in our modernized culture and Western cultures for eons now, that we come from the heart of the mother, the feminine goddess energy doesn't exist in all these religions. And so that denial, meaning just not, it doesn't exist. It doesn't mean necessarily that it's subjugating people trying to hold down that thought. They've just forgotten it. It's not remembered. So I think that when we are in white wind, we get to feel into the dark side of masculinity that it has abandoned, truly abandoned, a perspective, consideration of a female deity that is our initiation point into existence. So I'm glad it's ending. I'm glad it's ending. It's just been a bit of a ride, and it's very reflective of what happens in the culture, of course. I believe that. I look at cultural events through the lens of the Dzogchen and 13 moon year, and I won't talk about it so much because I think we're all living it to such a degree that we're nauseous or traumatized. But it has been interesting to just see the surge of overt patriarchal behavior by old white men who have currently more power than many of us are comfortable with. So I think one of the taglines that I said I would get back to here was that I would talk about how we can feel on a cosmic day into that past experience, and we are transcending it. So the words endure and transcend play out a little differently when I think we're talking about the wave spell change. To me, at the beginning of a wave spell, I'm really uncomfortable with parts of the energy of it. So using white wind, I'm really uncomfortable with patriarchal overlording. I have a lot of abandonment issues. And I go through a lot during the wave spell. I endure a lot. But here I transcend at the end. I transcend the wave spell's challenge, the wave spell's hardship, the wave spell's suffering. I transcend it at the end. I mean, I think that would be very specific for me to say, like, I'm talking about this lapse I had into feeling like I was worthless and shouldn't be on the planet, which I attribute to the worthlessness assigned to females, maybe only in my family, but maybe more broadly as well. I went through that experience of suffering, and I don't have it today. It's behind me. I experienced it fully, and that's part of where I really live the truth of the Zolk'in frequency, is that I give my life over, and I know how to still, you know, do my chores, do my work, but I feel the feelings associated with a wave spell deeply so that I learn and evolve. So that's happened. And that is nice. The transcendence has a lot to do with what is behind us in this wave spell. And then whatever I might be enduring on a cosmic day could be the forecast of the next challenge arising, the next shadow realm that I haven't explored in a while, and that would be Blue Eagle starting on Monday. And that's like the orientation now is June 17th, Monday, June 17th, Blue Magnetic Eagle. And Blue Eagle is going to be easier to talk about when we're in it, but I'll do my best to frame it from everything I've known. I have a Blue Eagle mother. I feel like that really was immersive in terms of understanding Blue Eagle. And there is a visionary wisdom. It is the archetype of both the bird, of course, all forms of bird life, you know, even the ones that are like chickens and they don't really fly at all, but the lightness of bearing that it is to be a bird with bird bones and bird musculature, so that you really originally were designed to take flight. Everything is a small stature compared to like the meatiness, the carnality of other animal forms. And a bird, of course, has feathers instead of fur. And there's a lot of amazing science, bioscience to a bird. And I think that having all that refinement in their being, that the biology of a bird is formulated for this very specific act of being in flight, makes them sort of science-minded or highly perceptive or thinking or seeing. And of course, birds, what we would call like raptors or predatory birds, birds that do their hunting from high in the sky, they do have, as we say, an eagle eye. And so there is an amazing ability to see things from a distance and to be distant and still be participatory by our watchfulness, by our visionary seeing. And that reminds me of when people are really smart or intellectual and they can use their minds very adeptly. And I think of a Blue Eagle time as absolutely a moment when we're going to be thinking about things in big picture terms and intellectually. I guess by intellectual, I mean analyzing, judging, but also bringing things into synthesis. So it's not just being contemptuously judgmental or analyzing things without any concern for them, just really clinical and distant. I think we use our perceptive visioning, our perceptive analytical mind to come up with a big plan. And sometimes a Blue Eagle can then share that plan with others. And we might, in the Blue Eagle time, with all of this perception on high, all this visioning on high, be coming up with plans that are suitable for us to carry out, but are for the greater good. Because again, the animal form of an eagle being high in the sky is so different than the four-leggeds that are left here on earth. And I often think of the animal metaphor being that the Blue Eagle will have this insight that they can pass on to the four-leggeds. Like, oh, you have no idea, little beavers, that, you know, you're trying to get up and around that giant boulder that's in the creek. Just go off to the side. You know, maybe the flabbergasted beaver doesn't have any idea how to overcome the obstacle in front of it, but the eagle sees that you just go around. And that is going to be a bit of our role, is having the vision to help instruct others to an easier way. And then we're going to receive that kind of messaging as well in the Blue Eagle time. There's a connection point between these two wave spells, which would be perfect to talk about here on the pause between their surges. And that is that they're both skyward. I mean, white wind is sort of the definition of sky, anything that isn't material. It's the currents of air that are immaterial. And then Blue Eagle rides those currents to great heights, and sometimes just functionally to get around, but that's how they ambulate, they take flight. And so we are in a back-to-back situation of being, I think, a little out of body or in our minds, in our heads, and it's a continuation in that way of the things I talked about before, a little less empathy, a little less feeling compassion, but nonetheless, we just ride this arc out. And just as a preview of the very last wave spell, because Blue Eagle is the second to last wave spell of the Dzogchen. There are 20 wave spells that comprise the Dzogchen, and this is the 19th. The 20th is Yellow Star, and in that language you can hear that we get really high. We get really high into the sky, beyond the atmosphere, into, again, the star cluster, the cosmos, the universe. And so there's this wind that gives Eagle its lift, and then Eagle just turns into a star. I love that picture. It's kind of like that Greek god Icarus, whose wings melted, that he created for himself to imitate a bird and escape imprisonment on an island. But when he got close to the sun, the wax that held his constructed wings together melted, and he plunged into the ocean and died. But he also became a star. So, and maybe sometimes you don't have to plunge. You can just sort of evaporate into the outer echelon of the atmosphere and just go. You fly on the currents of wind until you are in flight as a shooting star out there in space. So that's how we finish up the Dzogchen. And we have these remaining two wave spells, not long, 26 days until the Dzogchen changes. There's going to be a lot of changes then, because it's going to be not long before the end of the 13 moon year as well. So we can anticipate things, we can be excited. And I will then talk about the next few days. And Blue Magnetic Eagle, we're going to attract our purpose. Magnetic day on Monday is simply attract our purpose, draw it to us. We are magnetic. It's the law of attraction. And we don't have intention. We don't have aspiration. We don't have prediction. We don't have ego. We just watch, receive, and then feel the weightiness. Because magnetic, to me, is it's a big package you get on the first day that has enough information and activities to carry you out for 13 days. So it's like one of those package drops from the sky that happen, I don't know, during wartime. You know, you wait for it, your rations coming from an airdrop. And then on Tuesday, we will see our challenge for the wave spell, which we may have felt on the magnetic day. It was part of that package that we received, but we sort of parse it out on the lunar day, the second day of 13. We have totality, or one, on the first day. Everything is one. And then the second day, things are divided into two. And that polarity is kind of like looking at the moon in its phases and saying there's the light side of the moon, and the dark side of the moon is hard to see. It's just absence. But on the lunar day, using that word lunar to remind us of polarity, we're going to start the journey that the wave spell is also about, of looking into the dark side of the moon, into the shadows, which are undefined. Whatever's in light, we can see visibly. And then we're on an endeavor to see things, places, have experiences that are usually hidden from us. That's an occult walk. That's a spiritual path, I guess. And so the challenge for Blue Eagle, in some way, is Yellow Warrior. That day, Yellow Lunar Warrior will maybe instruct us that it's hard when you want to lift off and be a high flyer. It's kind of hard when there are wars down below that need to be attended to in some way. Like, in other words, Yellow Warrior is kind of the story of what happens here in the human condition, here on the earth floor, on the the stage of human existence. There is a lot of warriorship, of defending and offending and being offended and taking action and protecting and being martial and disciplined. And how does that, we'll find out in this wave spell, how does that interplay with maintaining a big picture and a little bit of detachment and having a commitment to what's in the sky, which is the spirit world, which we have, found our way through in this white wind time. I denigrate it to a degree because I think it has a heavy shadow for humanity. The masculine patriarchal God has got too much attention and power. So that's what I mean about the shadow coming through, is the truth of allowing femininity to have co-creative power and acknowledgement. But anyway, we have had a lot of spirit messaging in white wind, and we will be living still in the spirit world to a degree in Blue Eagle. And so Yellow Warrior is that reminder of things that are battles for life and death, for wellness, and you can't just lift off and take off without attending to that as well, which I think takes us back to a purposeful Blue Eagle experience is to use your visioning power, which is incredible, and your highly honed thinking. Your mental constructs are also very sound, to be of service to helping in the war of existence, meaning the battle of enduring and transcending suffering. Okay, and then we're up to Wednesday, which is actually when I'll talk next, but just to kind of lay it out there so we're not left in my descriptor of, war and the dark side of the moon. Remember that the electric day is always then the infusion of divine strength, divine guidance, divine reassurance. When we say electric, we're talking about a power greater than ourselves. It's electric. It gives us a surge. And I would say that if we think of it as the number three, the placement of three in our growth evolution of our sacred geometry, it's like a triangle. It's the Trinity. It's ourself, that which we experience is outside of ourself, which might be how you call a challenge. Like, that's not part of me. I don't like it. What is it doing here? And then the third realm, which I call divine, is something that is stronger than both of us and mends the distance, starts to weave us back together, which is the journey of the wave spell. When we overcome our challenge in a wave spell, because we identify it on the lunar day, it's part of the dialectic here that there is a challenge. From the front end of a wave spell, we're thinking about purpose and challenge, and then we overcome our challenge when we basically use it to lift ourselves up. Something that was in our way, we overcome, and then it gives us all this height and loft, and that brings us closer to God as we understand God. And so this is the first little iteration of that electric energy, electric tone, electric day. Like, hey, your challenge is something that's going to be morphed into not a hardship, not an obstruction, not pain, but something integrated into you that makes you larger, stronger, and deeper, able to reach high towards the spirit world that is there to also strengthen us. So those are the days to come, and the only thing I haven't really said anything about is the reminder that we are in the third week of the crystal moon, the blue week in the west. There's a lot that churns. I think it's an active time. Transformation is happening from the beginning of the week till the end, similar to a wave spell. I think on the blue week of the west, you can always define, like, yep, that changed. That's different now. And I sort of felt and watched it happen. You could probably trace the steps of the transformation, the stages of it, in pretty rapid succession over 7 days. And we will, on Wednesday, be finishing that cycle and moving towards the final week of the crystal moon. And then following that, of course, is the cosmic moon, which will have this reflection of everything I've talked about regarding our cosmic day today. And then the last thing I'll say as a salutation is that Carl Jung is probably the most influential, like, superheroic shaman, Western shaman of my life experience. He was really influential in my family of origin, and it's imbued in me to have the concept that he carried forth about the shadow, the Jungian shadow. When I talk about the shadow here, and I do a lot, it's because of what I glean from everyone's preoccupation with Jung in my family. And I do consider him a credible Anglo-Saxon shaman. And I am strengthened and influenced by the existence of that, that actually white people can have spiritual wisdom and be spiritual teachers, that we're not taking things away from traditional shamans of other cultures when we notice that we were once indigenous ourselves. And today is Carl Jung's Mayan birthday. He's a white cosmic wizard, which I think is perfect. And so I just wanted to pay homage to him. So you can look up your birthdays and others at resonanttruth.com. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan we say, in Lakesh.